This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the USA. How are you doing, Nick?
Hi, Johnny. I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. First of the month, of course. And we've started over here with, in some people's opinion, a surprise cut in interest rates by the Bank of England. The first for more than 4 years. They've cut it from 5.25% to 5%. And it was a close run thing, wasn't it, for the Monetary Policy Committee, which just narrowly voted to cut rates. From where you are, was it a surprise?
Yeah, Johnny, I mean, to your point about the closeness in this decision is the big thing to point out. And that's arguably why there's a good bit of volatility here. I'm sure there are people who were thinking both sides could happen, that they would hold rates or cut them. But the decision to cut here from the central bank over where you're at, the Bank of England, that is certainly global news because, again, it sets a precedent. You know, if you see more central banks cutting interest rates, I always equate it to kind of like a herd of buffalo. They typically move together. So, yeah, that's big news. And again, starting to ease there. They also revised the expectations for inflation down. So there's a bit of dovishness there, maybe some surprise dovishness, depending on who you asked. But certainly, you know, rates starting to come down globally. This is, you know, the UK and now the comments from Jerome Powell that were also dovish. Seems like a theme. And although the vote was close, I would imagine that if that inflation data, as they forecast, does come in light, you're on the right path to rate cuts in the UK, as many would expect for the US as well.
Although Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey has indicated that despite today's announcement, it is unlikely there'll be a flurry of rate cuts over the next few months. And as you said, they're forecasting that inflation will increase to around about 2.75% later this year before returning to 2%, which of course is the target next year. So maybe they're a bit more cautious about any significant rate cuts, say between now and the end of the year. I'd be interested to know what markets think is going to happen next in terms of a further 0.25% rate cut between September and December.
Well, the interesting thing that you mentioned there is that the willingness to cut rates, but not too fast, is arguably why many took this as a bit of a hawkish cut, right? Yes, they're cutting, but there was some mixed sentiment on whether they should, and forecasts for slower rate cuts arguably are actually a stable thing, Johnny. We don't want to see, you know, central banks just absolutely gung-ho to cut rates either, because that would suggest that the economy is a questionable scenario. So I think this is actually kind of a good overall scenario, painting a decent picture for the Bank of England and their goals, as, you know, same concept with other central banks, notably the US.
Yeah, and we talked last week about the hard or soft landing. And I suppose what this 25 basis points cut is about is preventing a hard landing before it's too late. Let's talk about what Fed Chair Jerome Powell announced yesterday. He said that rates might be reduced as early as September if the US economy continues to meet expectations. And this potential rate cut is a fairly significant shift, isn't it, as the Fed nears the end of its prolonged battle against inflation. It also coincides, and we talked about this again last week, it will coincide with the upcoming presidential election campaign. And we talked about the ramifications of that as to whether one of the candidates particularly might say this is a political maneuver by Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
Yes. And here's the interesting thing about it, Johnny, that I watched the whole, you know, press conference, and there was some notable things that I wanted to bring up here for the podcast. So yes, the expectation from the market was that we're going to see a rate cut in September, but it was all about the antics yesterday. There were several things, the way Jerome Powell answered his questions, that many took it as a very dovish meeting, because yes, he confirmed the likelihood of a rate cut in September is there, but you got to think about this man's position, right? When Jerome Powell wants to say we're likely to cut rates, he can't say we're going to cut rates in September. He has to speak in political language. So he has to kind of dial it down. But in my view, the way he answered the question about September was about as dovish as you could possibly get. He basically said that the consensus is that it would be appropriate to cut interest rates in September as long as nothing drastic changes. That is like the most political, soft way of saying we're likely to cut rates in September. It's almost certain. the thing that I want to take out of that is that his willingness, very steady willingness to cut rates in September, the market may have also taken that as a cue that November and December are also very much up for debate. And also, to add to your point about the political standpoint there, I actually think that the way he answered the person at the press conference that asked him about the political ramifications, if there's any, you know, tensions there, his answer was so perfectly planned that it actually may have sounded a little bit dovish by itself. He so readily had the answer to defending the cuts that could come in November that it made me and others think that, well, that sounds like a very willing answer to cut rates in November, almost like it's predetermined that there's a good chance that it could happen. His answer was very much a, you know, resounding. He pointed out this is his fourth election as part of the Fed, and he mentioned that they don't operate based on politics, that would not be a sustainable way of doing their job. You know, I think that he really had that answer prepped because perhaps in his mind, there is what he's not saying, but perhaps in his mind is that there is a very solid chance that a rate cut in November could take place. That's also what the market kind of thinks. So when we look at the Fed watch tool, November is very much a possibility that we see another cut. So him having that answer so readily available to me sounded very dovish. So the overall takeaway from his comments to me seemed very much that the Fed is preparing, that it's time to cut rates, and we could see some easing, not only in September, but perhaps in the remaining meetings for this year.
And of course, we had some PMI numbers today, and those figures would suggest even more so that we're going to get a cut in September, because U.S. manufacturing activity has dropped to an 8-month low. There's a slump in new orders and a downturn in the Eurozone as well. So I think this really pushes home this idea that we need to prevent a hard landing, and therefore that cut that has been trailed so significantly by Jerome Powell is almost certain to go ahead.
Yeah, exactly, Johnny. And that's the thing is, you know, when we take a look at this data here this morning, this was just more ticks in the boxes for a rate cut. We had unemployment claims rise up to 249,000 on the weekly jobless claims. We also had manufacturing PMI come out from ISM at 46.8. That is well below the growth tier of 50 and above, which was forecasted at 48.8. Again, coming in at 46.8, that is a slide in the economic outlook. So we've got some very distinct cues here that the economy is materially slowing down, not necessarily crashing or falling apart or anything, but it is meaningfully slowing. You've also got the comments yesterday from Powell that worth mentioning, that he feels very confident about the disinflation trend being sustainable this time around. I mean, you're looking at a scenario where it is very appropriate in most people's eyes for cuts to start beginning and to be, if not two times, maybe even three, depending on how this economic data rolls in this year. But again, more data this morning that would suggest some cooling in the economy.
And the figures keep rolling in, Nick. We're going to have the latest non-farm payroll tomorrow. What are markets expecting?
Yeah, so for jobs data tomorrow, we've got the NFP report, which of course is very, very important. I have actually made the points on the podcast recently that I think that this jobs data is arguably just as, or if not more important than the actual CPI statistic to show whether or not the economy is really starting to slow aggressively, because inflation seems to be trending in the right direction. The question now is, what are jobs going to do from here? They can continue to really slow down. And so tomorrow they're forecasting for 176,000. So a one handle on forecasts. I think a really healthy level would be if we stay, you know, low 200s to, high 100s in the thousands of jobs created. That would be decently healthy to kind of get us towards that rate cut story. And then unemployment rate is expected to go to 4.1% or stay at 4.1. That would be the best case scenario, would be 4.1 kind of hangs in there. And we kind of see not too much more threat to the labor market. Where we want to be careful is we don't want to see a huge slide in jobs, because that would suggest that maybe rate cuts are going to get rushed to sort of defend the situation, like we just discussed with the Bank of England wanting to stay slow. We really want to see a slow rate cut process in the U.S. as well, if we're talking about a Goldilocks scenario.
Okay, we shall discuss that tomorrow when the figures come out. Until then, Nick, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.